It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Like many cities with low population numbers, an aging workforce, and eyes on a developing science and tech industry, Pittsburgh is in need of skilled workers. While groups like Vibrant Pittsburgh and the Technology Council are encouraging Americans in other cities to come work in the Steel City, there's also a potential workforce already in our colleges and universities, which may never get the chance to contribute to the local economy. Hundreds of immigrants come to Pittsburgh to hone their skills in engineering and the sciences. Many more would like to come and develop companies through Alpha Lab and other startup advocates. But with our country's current immigration laws, those valuable skills cannot stay in Pittsburgh. But with Congress looking at immigration reform, the solutions may be out there. I'm joined now in Studio A by Terry Glick. She's Director of Communications and Community Development at Innovation Works. Terry Glick, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
And with us by phone, Brian Kennedy, Vice President of Strategic Services and Government Relations for the Pittsburgh Technology Council. Brian Kennedy, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
If you'd like to join the conversation, you can call us at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address is esspgh@wesa.fm. And you can reach us on Twitter at esspgh and follow the conversation at #EPLive. How does immigration play into your life in Pittsburgh? What are your thoughts on immigration reform? And do you have concerns about Pittsburgh increasing efforts to draw immigrant workers? Again, the number, 412-246-2002. It has been said that our immigration system is long overdue for reforms that meet today's labor force needs. So, Terry, let's start with you. In your opinion, what reforms are needed?
Well, certainly Pittsburgh has less of the issues around, we don't have the border security issues and those kinds of things. But what we do need are more high-skilled technology workers to grow a really vibrant, emerging, growing technology sector. Immigrants tend to, nationally, and there are many studies of this, they tend to start and own businesses at a higher rate than native populations. They tend to start high-tech businesses at significantly higher rates than other types of businesses and come from technical backgrounds. And you can imagine with the powerhouses of our universities creating highly skilled technical workers. Those are people that we want to continue on in our tech sector. And immigrant-born entrepreneurs tend to hire more frequently, than native-born. So there are lots of reasons to grow technology here, start more companies here, and to keep fueling the hiring within those companies by encouraging more immigrant or foreign-born founders and startup entrepreneurs and workers for those entrepreneurial endeavors.
And I don't know if either of you or how much either of you have had a chance to look at the legislation that is currently sitting in the Senate. But Terry and or Brian, what do you think of what the current Senate bill might do? Does it go far enough?
Well, this is Brian. So I'll just chime in real quickly. I think the Senate, that bill is a very comprehensive piece of legislation. And from the technology sector, you know, we are supporting some specific reforms. And I think the word worker has been used here. And that is one of probably three problems that we're trying to solve from the Pittsburgh Technology Council perspective. So let me first kind of lay out the problems that we're trying to solve and then tell you why this legislation addresses them. First, what we do know is that technology jobs follow talent, right? So Pittsburgh has a tremendous story to tell in terms of its recent emergence as a technology powerhouse. The fact that companies like Google and like Disney have recently come here, and the fact that we have companies like Smith Micro moving here and others looking to move here right now with hundreds of jobs, there's really only one reason. It's because Pittsburgh is known as a place for talent. So the problem that the nation faces is that talent is increasingly being dispersed across the world. And in some ways, it's being dispersed across the world because of U.S. immigration policy. And so what do I mean by that? Carnegie Mellon University is a magnet for the smallest number of the brightest people in the entire world. And they are coming here and they are receiving advanced degrees in computer science And for several reasons, including immigration policy, increasingly they're not staying here in Pittsburgh, and they're not even staying in the United States. They're going to places like Beijing and like Shanghai and like London. And they are, as a result, attracting companies to follow them there, where they're going. And so that in and of itself is costing the United States jobs. Just the fact that the world's best and brightest people who are trained in U.S. universities, who then return to their countries, that's bleeding jobs from the United States. And so that's one problem that we need to solve. Second problem, when you look at it from a Pittsburgh perspective, as Terry alluded, a study done by the Kauffman, funded by the Kauffman Foundation, but done by a gentleman named Vivek Wadhwa from Duke University, showed that 25% of all technology businesses founded between 1995 and 2005 had one immigrant founder as part of their startup, and those companies employ 450,000 people. And this is the thing that Terry said about immigrants. These are people who give up their lives to move to the United States, that take major risks, and they're risk takers. And we need risk takers here in the United States, and you see the result of that. 450,000 jobs that I can tell you pay very family-sustaining wages. So we don't have enough of them. In Pennsylvania, there's only 17% of technology companies founded, according to that study, by immigrants. So we are lagging the nation, and because we are not doing everything we can do to attract immigrants, and because our federal immigration policy restricts us from doing that, we're not creating the jobs that we should be creating. And the third problem, the one that most people talk about most often, is workers, right, in terms of a supply and demand problem. The simple fact of the matter is the number one issue that faces any technology employer in southwestern Pennsylvania is the ability to fill jobs that they have posted. In fact, if any of your listeners are looking for a job on the Pittsburgh Technology Council's Career Connector, we're posting 1,600 jobs today in the technology space. The average salaries of those jobs are probably well above $70,000 a year. And I can tell you, if those jobs aren't filled, they're in jeopardy of not growing right here in Pittsburgh, and sometimes not in being filled here in the United States.
And Brian,
those are the three issues we really have to tackle with this legislation.
And what it sounds like you're saying is that there are not enough people who currently are American citizens to take those jobs, and so those who are trying to stay in the country who may have been educated here and who are qualified to take those jobs need a pathway to citizenship or a way to stay in the country legally to accept those positions. Otherwise, they're not going to get filled.
That's exactly right. And so this legislation creates something called a Startup Visa Act, for example. I mentioned those people, the immigrants who had come here and founded jobs. Half of them, when you asked them why you originally came to the United States, it was to study. It was not to come here to get a job. It was not to come here to start a business. It was to study. So what we have in Carnegie Mellon is not thousands of potential workers, but thousands of potential entrepreneurs. So this bill creates something called a Startup Visa Act, and it says that if you are an immigrant and you start a business that creates at least five jobs and raises a certain amount of investment capital, you can be put on a fast track for a green card and to become a citizen. And that's really what we need here. We don't need temporary workers. We need people who want to invest in America and stay here. And again, we need people who don't want to come here to take jobs and fill jobs, but people that want to build jobs. So the Startup Visa Act is a really key component. I think it's very much in the American spirit to say we want people to come here and take a risk and build a company and pursue their dreams. And their dreams are the same as all Americans.
I can tell you, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Terry.
But we have two examples of this just in our own shop right this week. Two companies that we're looking at either for an Alpha Lab program or in the Innovation Works seed fund that we're considering investing in and would like to grow these two technology companies, but are stalled and may not be able to bring them into grow companies here because at least one of the founders has an immigration limit. They're on a student visa currently. And may not be able to stay legally in the country long enough to get the company off the ground and running. And that is also an issue for investors. So when other investors like ourselves, but beyond us, the next handoff partner to invest is doing due diligence on the company, not only do they have to look at all kinds of other legal issues of the company, now they also have to be looking into the founders. Will this person be able to stay here with their technical knowledge? Can they grow the company long enough? And it's an element of risk that we see it in our own practices, and then we see it down the line for further investment.
And one of the questions I had on my list would is how would immigration reform create jobs? We hear it, but you have both just spelled it out perfectly clearly. We're talking here on Essential Pittsburgh with Terry Glick, Director of Communications and Community Development at Innovation Works, and Brian Kennedy, Vice President of Strategic Services and Government Relations for the Pittsburgh Technology Council, about how to meet the needs of a workforce that has eyes on developing the science and tech industry in Pittsburgh and Pittsburgh's need for skilled workers. Now, both of you, I'm sure, are aware of the arguments against reforming immigration policy. There are those who oppose immigration reform because they say that it would take away job opportunities for American citizens. And I want to play a clip from an anti-immigration ad that aired this summer and is airing this summer. It's paid for by a group called Numbers USA. Let's listen.
Jobs. 20 million of our friends, family, and neighbors still can't find one. Young adults are wondering if they'll ever be financially independent. So why is Congress talking about giving 33 million new work permits to foreign job seekers? That's like putting the entire population of Canada in line for American jobs. The politicians call it immigration reform. What kind of reform brings in more foreign job seekers when what 20 million Americans really need is more jobs?
So this is an ad that sums up the fears that people have about immigration reform and what some see it creating. I would ask either Brian or Terry to get your reaction to what you just heard.
Well, I'll say real quick, and Terry, please chime in. You know, I think if you look up the definition of demagogue, that particular piece was a perfect piece of demagoguery, right? It plays to people's popular prejudices and their popular fears in order to achieve an outcome. And in this particular subject, look, I'm from just outside of Aliquippa, Pennsylvania. I understand the fear of losing a job. I understand how important it is to have a job. And look, there are probably components of this immigration reform package that are still going to be debated and are still going to be discussed relative to whether or not they're going to create jobs or not. But the pieces that we're talking about are the pieces that are aimed at adding jobs and protecting jobs and growing innovation. And look, we can talk about jobs. You know, this is clearly going to add jobs. But also, you talk about the benefits that the technologies bring to our society that are being generated here, from clean energy solutions to life-saving treatments and new medical devices to just simply information technology solutions that reduce costs of operating businesses. These people are coming here and improving America, and they're not coming here. They are not coming here to steal people's jobs. They're coming here to live the American dream.
And I think to just put this into very local perspective, and again, because Pittsburgh and Pennsylvania as a whole, we don't have some of the other issues around immigration reform, some of which I think are hinted at in that clip you just played. But as Brian talked about, the start of Visa Act as part of immigration reform, wrapped into that is another piece of this to extend visas for people with particular technical skills. So they may not be the entrepreneur starting the company, but they may be someone who can have a very, very particular finite technical skill, as Brian said, in creating a medical device or an alternative energy or something where there really are few people in the world either studying or who have experience in a certain technology. And frequently, they come from a laboratory environment at the University of Pittsburgh or Carnegie Mellon where they're studying under a particularly famous or skillful researcher. They've been attracted to come here. They can stay as a student, and we want to keep them and therefore open up more H-1B visas. This is a very specific type of visa for a technical talent. So,
Let's explain that.
A sliver, right, of the jobs component.
Right. Well, you have the H-1B and the N-1 visas, and so just to clarify, how do they work?
The H-1B visa is, again, it's for a particularly skilled technologist or a critical component of a team. There are provisions where you do look domestically first, and if you can't find the type of person you're looking for, then there are a certain number of visas available for this type of worker.
Which, again, allays the fears of people who think, okay, this is – and we're not certainly not making light of what are some very real fears for people who are concerned that jobs are being taken away. You're saying that the way this works is that there would be an internal search, or what we would normally refer to in a job search as an internal search within the company, or in this case within the country. And if a qualified current citizen is not found, then someone would be allowed to do this job who is from another country.
That is how the system currently works.
And it's a little bit more complicated than just that. There are actually some regulations that kick in. If an employer hires a certain percentage of their workforce from H-1B workers, they actually become more regulated and get a little bit more scrutiny, and some additional rules apply to them. As part of this particular legislation, no employer is going to be allowed to hire anything more than 50% H-1B workers. And I can tell you that that is a very rare situation. And the threshold where they start getting additional scrutiny is at 15% of their workforce. There's also some things that have been put into the bill to protect those workers, to make sure that they're being paid a prevailing wage, and so that employers are not just using it to drive down wages. There are some very stringent prevailing wages that have been negotiated by both industry and organized labor as part of this legislation. And what you're talking about, just so that you understand what this all comes down to, is today there is a cap on the number of immigrants that can come in to fill these really specialized skills, and that cap is at 65,000 people per year. And it's hit within the earliest days of each year because this segment of the economy is just growing so rapidly. And the legislation would let that grow somewhere between 115,000 and 160,000, depending on certain conditions that are met. So you're not talking about a massive change that's going to result in millions of additional people. And again, there's other provisions. So today, you know, H-1B workers who work for companies, if they lose their job, they are immediately put into non-compliant status and can face penalties, including being forced to leave the country. As part of this bill, they're going to be, if there's a downsizing, if they're terminated, they're going to be given a short 60-day window. And this is going to give those workers a little bit of protection to ensure that they're treated the same way that all American workers are treated. And this is important because, as we've mentioned, so many of them are actually pending immigrants, people who do plan to build homes and buy cars and spend money in your neighborhoods. And that is, of course, the risk that we're talking about here. When companies cannot bring the workers here, it is not hard. There are so many different paths to open up design centers in London, in China, in India. What ends up happening is people will just open design centers there, and it has already happened. And those countries love that investment and the wealth that is associated with it. So this is really about playing defense in a global economy and making sure that that wealth does not get transferred from the United States to the developing countries.
And that's Brian Kennedy. He's Vice President of Strategic Services and Government Relations for the Pittsburgh Technology Council, joining us by phone here on Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. With us in Studio A is Terry Glick, Director of Communications and Community Development at Innovation Works. If you'd like to join the conversation in the time that we have left with our guests in this segment, you can call us at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. How does immigration play into your life in Pittsburgh? What are your thoughts on immigration reform? And do you have concerns about Pittsburgh increasing efforts to draw immigrant workers? Again, the number, 412-246-2002, with your questions and comments. And I think you've explained the H-1B, the N-1 visas. There's also an EB-5 visa. How does that work?
Well, you're ahead of me on that one, Paul.
I can give you a little bit. Terry, I think you know this one. You probably just haven't heard it
okay.
Before. So an EB-5, and I have to tell you, you know, we go back and forth about this particular visa. But here's the basic concept of it. There are a lot of people in developing countries who have generated wealth, who live in countries that are quite frankly unstable and with not reliable leaders who are ready to just grab that wealth and take it. And so, of course, those people are looking to get out of those countries and to move their wealth. And so a bill had passed that said if you come to the United States and you invest $1 million in a business and it creates a certain number of jobs, you're going to go through all the same background checks as every other immigrant, but you're going to be put on an accelerated path to getting your green carding and your permanent resident. And that's something that other countries, including Canada, have done quite effectively. It's probably less so the American dream, I think, than what we're talking about with an EB-6 visa, where you're asking somebody to come here and start a business and build wealth here rather than moving wealth here. But it is an effective tool to get investment here. You've seen it in Pennsylvania. A number of projects have been financed this way. Hundreds of immigrants have invested in projects in Philadelphia and even here in Pittsburgh in things that are creating jobs for Americans.
What else is on the horizon?
In terms of immigration reform?
Immigration reform and just how we can make the path easier for not just immigration reform, but particularly as it relates to entrepreneurs. Because this sounds like it is going to meet so many needs for the city and in terms of creating jobs based on what you're saying is already happening.
Yeah, I think that one thing that Pittsburgh needs to be assertive about, and I credit the Technology Council for being a leader in this area, and a number of other voices have joined in on this, when the H-1B visa cap is extended, and it is very likely to, this is one area of immigration reform that has bipartisan support, we need to make sure that Pittsburgh is vying for a significant number of those additional workers. The West Coast, California, you know, siphons off nearly 50% of these visas as it is, leaves the rest of the country to scramble for a number of high-tech people, but spread among a really large area. And we want to make sure that Pittsburgh is a welcoming place, that we are ready to welcome and embrace people from other cultures into Pittsburgh, and that Pittsburgh is putting our best foot forward in terms of making our jobs and entrepreneurial opportunities known to foreign-born technology STEM workers so that those H-1B visas come into our community and not others, quite frankly. I mean, it is a very competitive landscape.
Yeah, it certainly sounds that way. 412-246-2002, the number to call and get in on the conversation with Terry Glick and Brian Kennedy. Richard from Beaver Falls is joining the conversation. Richard, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you.
Hi. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Well, I was just saying I think it's fantastic that the government is doing more for immigration. I mean, after all, the Americans, we have immigrants here now doing the lower-paying jobs that we don't want to do, and obviously we don't want to do the higher-paying jobs either. So it's just great that they're doing something to have them come in. That's terrific. It also gives the companies a big plus because my company has folded up 5 or 6 of their mills across America, and they've opened up in China. So now they wouldn't have all that going on where they'd have to go over there. They could get their labor here from overseas. Also, it's fantastic that I have friends who are entrepreneurs. They've invested into chain restaurants, and they had to invest a lot of money to get into those chains where the people who had come over, the immigrants, they didn't have to do that. The government already had a program for them to get in, basically for a free ride. So let's do some more for them.
All right, Richard. Well, thank you for that call. Richard from Beaver Falls. You were talking earlier, Terry, about the imbalance in terms of the visas, just because there is a limited number and how many of the highly qualified individuals that are being sought by American companies and startups, they're ending up being taken by companies in California, and we don't get them here. What is happening in other cities in that are similar in size to Pittsburgh that are maybe in the Midwest and in other parts of the country with regard to this?
Well, I can tell you one reason why there's an imbalance is that there's already a favorable to California imbalance in the number of big technology companies that can sponsor an H-1B visa worker, and they can also put their legal heft behind getting all of the paperwork and legal work done on behalf of those individuals, whereas a small company, and we have fewer of those large companies, many entrepreneurial and small companies, they just don't have the legal wherewithal to help an individual through the very laborious process of immigration legal issues. So one of the reasons why we just don't get as many here is because we just don't have as many large technology companies. So it's kind of a cyclical issue because obviously you need the talent in order to grow the companies to create that.
Sounds like a catch-22. A
little bit.
Well, we have come to time for this segment, but I want to thank both of you for being with us. And I do want to mention that next week, this is obviously an ongoing conversation, one which we will continue to have. And next week we will talk with Pennsylvania's junior Senator Pat Toomey, who is one of those considering the legislation that is currently sitting in the Senate that would be a path to citizenship and reform immigration, and to get his thoughts about where this is headed. But in the meantime, I want to thank both of our guests today for adding their insights about and thoughts about how it impacts Pittsburgh. Terry Glick is Director of Communications and Community Development at Innovation Works, and Brian Kennedy is Vice President of Strategic Services and Government Relations for the Pittsburgh Technology Council. Thank you both for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Coming up, we'll tell you about a project that allows 18 to 30-year-olds to explore the U.S. and come up with innovative solutions for the country. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.